News Radio, KFGO.
Some of the headlines this week are pretty scary, like a flu virus with a pandemic potential found in China. We decided to call someone who would know way more about it than we do, and that is Dr. Staka from NDSU. He's an extension veterinarian. Dr. Staka, welcome back to KFGO Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Amy. Thanks for having me on radio.
Well, we appreciate your time because the headlines are sort of unnerving this week. A new strain of the flu has a potential to become a pandemic, has been identified in China by scientists. It apparently recently emerged and is carried by pigs, but can infect humans. What do you know about this this new strain of flu?
Well, it's interesting, Amy. So I hadn't seen the headlines until about maybe 10 minutes ago. I saw some headlines in USA Today. So this relates back to how specific viruses are for species. There are some that can go back and forth from animals to people and people to animals. And there have been some cases, even with the latest COVID-19, some cases of it going from people back into animals. Now, the speculation on that one was that it came from a bat, and I'm still not sure we're sure about that one. But suffice it to say that this isn't the first time that we've had transmission from animals to people and vice versa. You know, some years ago we had SARS, which is sudden acute respiratory syndrome. Then before that it was MERS, which was Middle East respiratory syndrome. And then every year we have the influenza viruses that sometimes arise from animals and go into people. And in order for them to do that, they have to mutate a little bit, though. Because most of these pathogens are somewhat species-specific, they have to change their spots, if you would, a little bit, in order to infect another host. And so they do that, and we call the most likely, I don't want to get too technical here, Amy, but the most likely viruses to do that are ones that we call RNA viruses. And those RNA, that's a single strand of DNA, single strand of nucleic acid. DNA is double-stranded, RNA is single-stranded. And when the RNA viruses replicate themselves, sometimes there's some changes that occur in that replication, and then you get a strain that all of a sudden went from an animal to a people or back from a person to an animal. So it's an interesting thing, but it's not new. I mean, this has been going on for some time. It's just, I think, because of our heightened awareness, because of COVID-19, that we think more about it and we're watching these headlines and we get a little fear into our lives because of this. It's hard to know what impact this will have if they can shut it down in China, apparently where this one is right now, then it's less likely to have an impact over here.
Sure. We had a swine flu outbreak in 2009 or so. Would this potentially be the same strain of whatever that swine flu was?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I can answer that one. And I think, was that the one that we called SARS?
Yeah.
It might have been.
Yep.
Sudden acute respiratory syndrome. And so that indeed was a coronavirus, like I said. And I don't know, but they have identified this as a coronavirus as well. But I don't know if it's the same one as SARS. Probably not. It's probably
or
a little bit
H1N1?
Different.
H1N1?
That's an influenza virus. So it's a different virus, but it still
sure
causes some of the same symptoms that we see with the coronavirus.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what we call the influenza. This is corona. And the reason these are called coronaviruses is because the envelope, if you can envision a virus, which is really hard to do, Amy, in all honesty, but it has this envelope that looks like it has a crown, and that's why we call it coronavirus. It has nothing to do with the beer, of course. It's a virus that has this crown, and that's why we call it coronavirus.
Doctor, I'm curious to know about this. We have someone who's texted in to our text club here at KFGO. Don't you think it's all about having good food practice? Why isn't that being addressed in these countries? Is it a matter of food preparation in any way, or is this from a live animal to a live human being?
Yeah, it would have nothing to do with food. No, it wouldn't. This would be live animals to people and people to live animals. So most of the time when these respiratory viruses spread, they spread through aerosolization. And that, in fact, we've been hearing that this COVID-19, you got to clean your surfaces and all that stuff. And that's true. We need to wash our hands and keep surfaces clean. Well, we found out more recently that it's most likely just aerosolized. So in other words, if I sneeze or do something and I'm shedding, and by shedding, I mean you got virus in your system. You may not even be sick, but you may have virus in your system and you're either incubating it or you're a little bit sick. Then you're going to shed those virus particles into a sneeze, or if you breathe hard on somebody else, your nose will probably the next person can catch it because it's going to aerosolize for a little bit. So that's how this is transferred.
To that person's point, the reason that humans are coming into contact with these pigs that are potentially carrying it is for food production, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, swine is always food production. That's
right.
Correct.
So I think yes. That's that, to that person's point, it's less about the actual food, but about the processing of these animals for food. And so that being the ultimate culprit of this.
Well, no, that wouldn't be correct. No.
Okay. No, I think that's what this person was trying to assert. I think. I'm not sure.
Now, once these viruses get a hold, let me shift the discussion here just a little bit. One of the things I think we learned from COVID-19, and remember that almost every species has its own coronavirus. We have coronavirus in cats and dogs, horses, cattle. We've had coronaviruses in cattle for a long, long time. And none of them ever seem to jump into another species. It's interesting. And same with cats. So these others that either come from the bat, I'm still not sure that's right, or from swine, that those are more likely, some of these influenzas. I don't know about the coronavirus thing. It's hard to know scientifically unless you could really trace it back that it actually come from swine or not. But one of the mistakes we might make is that we think we can hide from these things. And you can sort of, if you've got, I guess, oceans between countries. But in effect, what we're trying to do is we're trying to build herd immunity in our populations so that the most susceptible don't actually get exposed in the first place. And you do that two different ways. If you have a vaccine, you try and vaccinate enough people so that people are immune to it so that the virus doesn't spread. If I am an immune person and the virus comes into this house, it kind of stops with me. It doesn't go any farther because I'm immune to it. If you get enough immune people in the United States or in some other country, then it doesn't really spread. Because it can't. You got enough immunity built up. You either do that through vaccination or you let it circulate through the population, hopefully in healthy people that don't really get sick, but you built up herd immunity and that actually protects the ones that are susceptible.
Someone who knows.
So this herd immunity is a really important concept.
Someone who knows much more about swine and zoonotic diseases, which is ultimately, I think, what we're talking about.
Yes.
How worried are you that we're going to see another pandemic?
Yeah. I don't know, Amy. That's
the million-dollar question, right? And like, you don't have a crystal ball. But I always wonder if with people with way more knowledge about this stuff than I have, if...
So let me add a little bit of science to this thing. So let's assume it's another coronavirus. We call them coronavirus because they fit in a certain family, certain genus and species of these viruses. They're cataloged that way. So let's say that I've been exposed to COVID-19 and I'm immune to it now. I maybe got a little bit sick or not sick at all, but I'm immune to it. And say this other one comes along. Sometimes, and this actually works a little bit with influenza too, sometimes there's what we call cross protection. In other words, I've got some immune, and we use the term antibodies a lot, and the immune response is much more than just antibodies. Antibodies are produced by cells in your body in response to an infection, like a virus infection. But sometimes those antibodies will be the same for COVID-19 as they are for this next one that's coming. So So the more exposed population you have and they build antibodies, the less likely it is to be as severe.
Yeah, and so, I think that that was how the other outbreaks were not as deadly than we initially feared, because many of the older people had some immunity to it, probably because it was similar to other flu viruses that had circulated in years prior. So that's a good point. Unfortunately, we're starting from scratch with this new COVID-19.
Yeah. And I realized that, you know, when these things first happen, we're a little bit, and I say we, I should say the scientific community is a little bit unsure of how to respond. So we tried to lock everything down, which I totally understand, because we didn't want to overwhelm the medical facilities that we had. But the alternative would be to make sure you protect the most susceptible and then kind of let it go through the population to build that herd immunity. So in other words, it seems looking back now, which is easy, that the young people, we should have just kept them in school and gone on with our lives, but protect the nursing homes and assisted living in the hospitals and so on and so forth. It probably would have ended sooner. And again, that's easy for me to talk about now with hindsight.
Doctor, I'm just curious about this, and I know that this is going to be a ridiculous question, but bear with me. So with something like H1N1, the swine flu virus, have we ever considered trying to come up with a vaccine for pigs?
It's interesting. There are influenza vaccines for pigs. We don't have any in cattle, although we've wondered about using influenza vaccines in cattle because some have made that diagnosis. It's not really done to any extent that I'm aware of. No, my world doesn't extend deeply into the swine industry. So if I'm speaking out of school here a little bit, well, you'll have to forgive me. But there's not much interest, it seemed like, in swine influenza vaccines, although I think they have been available in the past. This is the difficulty that we have with influenza. And it's maybe somewhat similar to coronavirus. You create a vaccine for influenza, and then it changes its spots just a little bit the next go around, and the vaccine that you had in place isn't quite as effective as the next strain that comes along. Even though I talked about cross protection, it's not completely cross protection either. People can still get sick, obviously, as we know. But sometimes even cross protection shortens the duration of the illness. People don't become as sick. I mean, it's never a little switch that you turn off and on. There's always these little gray areas when you're vaccinating. Some people respond great. Some people don't respond very well. Some people will get sick. Some people won't. And still vaccination is one of the best, greatest tools we have had, if you look back over history, in dealing with some of these very severe pathogens, not only from today, but in the past.
Well, Dr. Gerald Stocka has been with us. He is an NDSU Extension veterinarian. We appreciate your expertise on these scary headlines everyone's going to read for the rest of the week now. They've just started. Is this new swine flu found in China? Does it have a pandemic potential? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Amy. And just remember, we can't live in fear. Have to keep moving forward.
We will, yep, for sure. This is It Takes Two. Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon here with you until 2 o'clock on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Let's check in again with Derek Hansen. He's out there shopping for fireworks and telling us some of the great deals out there at Memory Fireworks on KFGO.
All right, thanks, guys. Yes, I'm here with Adam with Memory Fireworks. The north location now is where you can find him, the exit 69 location off of I-20.